yesterday's attacks on another.
Some say that he does have ties to Muslim extremists. I don't know.
Three weeks after the 9/11 attacks, U.S. President George W. Bush invaded Afghanistan by U.S. armed forces and some NATO partners.
On my orders, the United States military has begun strikes against Al-Qaeda.
The goal was clear. First to wipe out Al-Qaeda, a terrorist group blamed for the attacks, and then to crush the Taliban, which had seized control of the country and refused to hand over Osama bin Laden, the head of Al-Qaeda. 17 years have passed since then, and the goal is still elusive. Bogged down in the graveyard of empires, the Uncle Sam's army is tasting failure in its longest war abroad. Murmurs of ending the failed war in Afghanistan is now rippling through Washington.
Look at what's happened over the last 8 weeks and compare them.
Daniel Davis, a former lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army, says the evidence that the U.S. war in Afghanistan is failing and cannot be won is dramatic and overwhelming, yet no president has had the wisdom or courage to call for a withdrawal.
My original instinct was to pull out. And historically, I like following my instincts. But all my life, I've heard that decisions are much different when you sit behind the desk in the Oval Office.
Last August, U.S. President Donald Trump unveiled a fight-to-win strategy, reversing his previous stance. He deployed an additional 3,000 troops and asked NATO allies to help more.
In Afghanistan, the number we've been working with has been approximately 11,000. As you know, we've just completed a force flow into Afghanistan, so the new number for Afghanistan is now approximately 14,000.
For his part, Trump had dropped in April the mother of all bombs on a supposed Daesh cave and tunnel complex in eastern Afghanistan, calling it a big victory.
The lodging of the recent MOAB, mother of all bombs, by the Trump cabinet was an insult to us and to the lives of millions of Afghans who have been dehumanized for many years by the illegitimate U.S. actions of waging war in Afghanistan. The Afghan people have been decimated for many years, but the recent use of the bomb weapon in Achin district of Nangarhar made us to think our human lives as not important.
This is not something that is unusual for this United States to have participated in. This is not something that is new. This is not something that Trump has just picked up. In fact, this is a legacy handed down by Bush and actually increased by President Obama, who we are so quick to pat on the back for being better than Trump.
17 years into the war, U.S. officials routinely issue exaggerated assessments of progress that contradicts the reality on the ground. More than 2,200 Americans have been killed in the Afghan conflict, and the United States has spent more than $840 billion fighting the Taliban and paying for relief and reconstruction. The war has become more expensive in current dollars than the Marshall Plan, which helped to rebuild Europe after World War II. That investment had pressured the Americans to show the Taliban are losing and the country is improving. But since 2017, the Taliban have held more territory in Afghanistan than at any time since the American invasion. While the U.S. government says the Taliban controls or contests 44% of Afghan districts, military analysts say the group controls or contests 61% of the districts. In just 1 week in August, the Taliban killed 200 Afghan police officers and soldiers, overrunning two major Afghan bases and the city of Ghazni, a bitter reminder that they are still in considerable power.
We expect that there will be a very big need for psychosocial support,
amongst the residents, including for children. There are reports of unaccompanied minors turning up at the hospital looking for their families.
A new Pew Research survey has found that almost half of Americans, 49%, think the US has mostly failed in Afghanistan. The previous Pew surveys conducted in 2014 and 15 had also reported negative views of America's longest war. Not only has the US failed to root out the Taliban, many political analysts argue that it has turned Afghanistan into a breeding ground for different terrorist groups. Back in December, Russian ambassador to the United Nations, Vasily Nebenzia, warned that Daesh had about 10,000 terrorist members in Afghanistan. That's while former Afghan president has said in November that the United States was colluding with Daesh in Afghanistan and allowing the terrorists to flourish in the war-stricken country. The terrorist group has launched its deadliest attacks over the past 2 years, targeting Shia Muslims community in particular.
Terror attacks and bombings by Daesh are increasing across Afghanistan. This shows the Afghan government and the US-led forces lack the necessary resolve to counter terrorists.
US Secretary of State's quick, unannounced and heavily guarded visit to Afghanistan in July reveals Afghanistan's ongoing instability and fragile security. Mike Pompeo promised support for Kabul's bid to start peace talks with the Taliban and said Washington would like to take part directly in talks with them.
The United States will support, facilitate, and participate in these peace discussions. But peace must be decided by the Afghans and settled among them. We expect that these peace talks will include a discussion of the role of international actors and forces.
Many believe that the White House is at the end of its tether in fighting the Taliban, the primary target of America's so-called war on terror. That's why some other political observers argue that the presence of rival terror groups like Daesh has made the White House reach out to the lesser evil, namely the Taliban. It seems that after 2 decades, the US is going to experience the same humiliation suffered by other powers that ventured into Afghanistan. Washington is also losing the war in on yet another front. Narcotics. In 2017, 328,000 hectares of Afghan land were covered with poppy bulbs, higher than ever before. In fact, the poppy cultivation has been on the rise since the US-led invasion of Afghanistan overthrew the Taliban government. Since then, the Afghan opium production has increased 40 times higher, and about 90% of the world's illegal opium now comes from Afghanistan. Analysts believe that neither the government nor the US troops are serious enough about annihilating the drugs or arresting the kingpins.
The increase in opium is relating to basically the increase in Afghanistan, where in 2017 the production almost doubled from the year before. And the first member states that will be hit, particularly by the Afghanistan overproduction, are their neighbors, so particularly Iran, Pakistan, but also Central Asian countries.
Unless Trump changes his mind, the US military involvement is likely to continue in the country for at least the next few years. And any peace talks between the Taliban and the Afghan government will take years and could be easily torpedoed by high-profile attacks in Afghanistan. The war in Afghanistan is already by far the longest US military engagement in history. It has laid waste to the nation. More than 10,000 Afghan people have been killed in 2017 alone from the fighting and airstrikes.
یک از خواستهای مهم ما که از حکومت مرکزی است گری امیزی گروهی که مردم ما را به گلیم غم میشونند و هر روز کسی از ما قربانی میگیرند اری امیزی وحشی ها و اری ازی قطعی دریقا و اری ازی کسانی که توریست هستند و همیشه مادر را یتیم میکنند و فرزند را کس بخاک و خون میکشنند اری ازنا کس یک عملیات را اندازی شوه.
For 17 years, Afghan soil has been under the boots of American troops. And the country is dying for peace, always promised but never delivered to them by foreigners.